Okay, so we're talking about the resurrection today. This is part two. We started our study on Wednesday evening. And our goal here, we'll cover the... Okay, you got the... Let's get the other one. We didn't finish Wednesday, so we'll pick up where we left off on Wednesday. Just to refresh our minds of what are we doing here in this particular lesson, we have some objectives. What are we trying to accomplish here? The first objective we have here is to take the four Gospels and develop an integrated chronological account of all the things that happened on this first day of the week. And we completed that partly on Wednesday. We came up with a list. As you recall, we come up with 14 events that happened on this first day. And we're looking at this thing from two formats. One, a list, which we finished on Wednesday. And the other thing is a narrative. A narrative, and then took all these 14 events and composed a story. And a narrative, provide more detail. And in this narrative, as we get back to it, is I left some blanks. So as we go through this exercise, we'll ask the class to respond and fill in out the blanks. And why do we do that? Well, our main focus this morning, after we complete the narrative, is to learn some lessons. We take all this information, we got this chronological integrated account. So what can we learn from that? And of course, the whole point of all this study here is to deepen our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're going to pick up on number 12 in the narrative. That's a lesson from Wednesday night. Hopefully you have your lessons. If not, I got a few extra copies here on number 12. And the handout for this morning we'll cover after we finish this one. So what we're doing here, again, is we're going through this narrative. And we're picking up on event number 12. Event number 12 is these two disciples that are on their way to Emmaus. And so I'm going to go ahead, as we did on Wednesday night, I'm going to go ahead and start reading the narrative. And wherever there's a blank, I'm going to stop. And I'm asking for the class to fill in the blank. So we'll go through that and finish that and get into the lessons. So on number 12, on the first day, two of Jesus' disciples were walking to a town called Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they were talking about things that had taken place recently, Jesus approached them, began traveling with them. They were prevented from recognizing it was Jesus. Jesus asked them what they were talking about. One of the disciples, Cleopas, was surprised Jesus did not know about things that have taken place in Jerusalem. He explains about Jesus of Nazareth. A prophet, mighty in deed and word, and how the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be crucified. So for those who didn't have a chance to work on the lesson, those are the blanks that that we went through. So let's pick up on continuing there. As the discussion continues, they said it was the third day, and women have reported the body missing, and that the angel said he has arisen. Also, some of the disciples who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just like the woman said, but they did not see him. Jesus responded, talking to these two men, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter in his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." So those are the blanks, the answers to the blanks that we just covered. Okay, let's continue and finish this event number 12. As they approached the village, the two men invited him to stay with them since it was late in the day. Jesus went with them into their house, and they began to eat bread or dinner. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized it was Jesus. He vanishes from them. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was explaining the Scriptures to us? Okay, so that's the two men from Emmaus, and most of this account is in Luke chapter 24, 13 through 32, and one reference in Mark 16, 12. Okay, let's go on to number 13. These two disciples go back to Jerusalem that very hour and report these events to the apostles, including that the Lord has appeared to Simon, Peter. Disciples still do not believe Jesus has risen from the dead. All right, so they go back and report about that. Okay, and the last event is number 14. As the case, so these two men go, they're talking to the apostles. Verse number 14. As these disciples were talking to the apostles behind closed doors for fear of the Jews, Jesus appeared to them. They were startled and frightened and thought Jesus was a spirit or a ghost. He asked them, why are they troubled and doubt in His appearance? He rebukes them for their unbelief based on the reports that He had risen. He says, see My hands and My feet, it is Me. Touch Me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Okay, and continuing. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent Me, I also sent you. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Okay, in the last part of 14, Jesus said to them, Jesus then says, He is hungry, and asks them if they have anything to eat. They give Him some fish, broiled fish, and He eats it. Thomas was not present during this appearance. The other disciples told Thomas, they have seen the Lord, and He would not believe unless I see in My hands the imprint of the nails and put My finger into the place of His nails and put My hand into His side, I will not believe. Okay, so we know this particular event, a long record of it in John, and a few verses in Luke, and one reference there into Mark. So now we have completed the narrative, filling in the blanks, adds a lot more detail, kind of gives us more information based on just listing the events. So now that we have completed that, got that product completed, and again, I do want to say there is some uncertainty on these events in terms of the timing. I've done my best. Others are looking at that and wondering, well, does this go here or that? Well, the point is we've collected all the information from all the verses and tried to compile that into one single account. So now let's go through the lesson for this morning, talking about what can we learn from that? So I got several questions. There are actually 10 of them. And so the first one here, you can see that the number one here, and as we've been reading and going through this account, we've noticed how many times there have been reports done about Jesus. And these reports, let's go ahead and just read number one. Here's the question on the first one. How many reports did the apostles receive or experience either about the body missing or has arisen, and yet they still do not believe? List the persons and what was reported. So let's just go through the reports. Now we got this detailed account. So what was the who gave the first report, and what did the report entail? Okay, Mary Magdalene, right. And what did Mary Magdalene report? Right, the body's missing. Note here, we pointed this out. She didn't tell Peter and John that he has arisen, only that the body is missing. And that was the first report that the apostles have received. What about the second report? Pardon? Okay. That comes a little bit later. This is an event. This next one here, some say, well, this maybe happened before Peter and John or maybe after. Suggest to you remember when the women, all four women, went to the tomb. We have a report here. When we says Mary Magdalene and also all the other women were there. And we know what happened to Mary Magdalene. As soon as she sees the tomb empty, she runs away and reports to Peter. And she goes by herself, evidently, because the women are still at the grave. And what happens on the second event, or second report, is that the angels appear to the women, minus Mary Magdalene. And remember the discussion the angels had with the women, that he has arisen, just like he said he would. And so that's recorded in both Matthew and Luke. Okay, now the third one is now Peter and John. The order there, he says, why do you have the women before Peter and John? If you go to Luke 24 and verse 11, 9 and 11, there you have the women. And right after that, we have Luke recording that about Peter and John going to the grave. So the third event is, so the apostles, Peter and John, have heard Mary Magdalene's report. Now the report has been expanded, that more than just the body's missing, he has arisen from the dead. And so now Peter and John go to the gravesite. And so they run to the gravesite. Now, what was their report? What did they observe and what did they conclude after visiting the gravesite? The body's missing. The thing to note here is, and this is a surprise. You think, well, wait a minute, he's arisen. No, they still do not believe that. And John is very clear that they did not believe that. They says that Peter and John still did not believe the scriptures that he had arisen from the dead. So even after all these reports, they're at the gravesite, they see the body's missing. Okay, what about the fourth report? Anyone? So Mary Magdalene goes to Peter and John, tells the body's missing. Then the women come. Peter and John go to the gravesite. Then they come back. And then Mary Magdalene goes back to the gravesite. And when she goes back, then she sees Jesus. Not only Jesus, but also she's two angels. Remember that, sitting in the tomb. And so there's a long, detailed discussion that Mary Magdalene has with Jesus. And so her report is now, more than the body's missing, now she knows that he has arisen. He's actually talked to her. And then Mary Magdalene then goes back to the apostles and reports that, well, look, Jesus now has arisen. This next one here is, now this, some believe that the women only reported once to the apostles and reported both what the angels have said, and then they also, remember the women, Jesus appears to the women, they start worshiping him. After that discussion in Matthew, it says that the women went and told the apostles. So this is the fifth report. And whether that's a separate report or combined with the other women, I have it as a separate report. But anyway, there is that fifth report. Okay, so that's five reports. Either the body missing or Jesus risen from the dead. What's the next report? Or experience, what next happened in the chronological events. This next one here is, and it's clear, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. Luke talks about it in Luke 24:34, when these two men from Emmaus report back to the apostles. Those two men tell the apostles that Jesus also appeared to Simon, which is Peter. So Peter has experienced, we don't have very, very little information about that the Lord appeared to Peter. So that's the sixth report. So Peter now has seen Jesus from both Luke and 1 Corinthians. And the last report here is, then we have these two disciples from Emmaus, going on the road to Emmaus. One we know by name, Cleopas, And definitely, they say that Jesus has risen from the dead, because they had this long discussion. So this next question here is, okay, so now we have these seven reports. There's a total of seven, the way I, when we put the chronological out, there's seven different reports, either the body missing or risen. But the point is, after all those seven reports or experiences, even Peter himself, the apostles still do not believe in all these reports and experiences. And to me, this is an important lesson here that the Holy Spirit has provided us and what actually happened. And the question is, we know that the apostles know that Jesus was going to rise from the dead because he told them that. And they started getting all these reports, but yet they still did not believe he was risen from the dead. And you would think that's just, I can't believe that happened, but that's what the records show. That's the question here. So after all these seven reports, you think of the first report they would believe. They're apostles, they're the ambassadors. It's clear that they do not believe. Why do the apostles not believe after all these reports and experiences? You remember when we did the Gospel of John Bible class, many times I would ask the question, these questions, and when the answer was, I don't know, right? I had many of those, if you recall. He said, why do you ask the question if you don't have an answer? Well, sometimes in the Bible, we don't know answers. We have questions, but the Bible doesn't tell us. Well, the Spirit hadn't revealed that. So think about that. But here's the question. Why did the apostles not believe after all these reports and experiences? Okay. And why? Clearly, they did not believe. Why? Okay. Okay. Normally, when we answer these questions, we always want to find a biblical answer. I suggest to you that a biblical answer has been provided to answer this question. And so turn to, Josh, you had a comment before I...
It's hard to believe the story itself. It's supernatural. We don't see it every day, so it's just kind of a hard thing to believe in the first place.
Yeah. But
some good evidence,
right? But during this time, Jesus has already performed around 35 plus miracles. He walked on water, calmed, you know, raised people from the dead. Supernatural events have been happening all quite frequently for the last 3.5 years. So supernatural events have been happening here, and these apostles experienced that, and they were aware of Jesus' glory demonstrated by these miracles. So let's turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 14. We have an answer here. And our answer is provided by the Lord. Here in Mark 16, which is talking about here on the first day when Jesus appears to the apostles. This last event, we call it number 14, is being talked about here in Mark 16, 14. And afterward, he appeared to the 11. Themselves as they were reclined at the table. And here's the answer. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. So the Lord tells them, explains to us why they did not believe. They had unbelief. Hardness of heart. So, kind of an important lesson. Here's these ambassadors, and it's not only the men, remember the women. When the women, Mary Magdalene saw the empty tomb, she thought, oh, the body's missing. Well, wait, Mary Magdalene, come on, he's risen. The body's not there. No, she didn't even believe. Even some of the women very early on, you know, they changed, but very early on, the women were in the same issue. And so Jesus here, and can you imagine this? Here we talk about the greatest day in Christianity, the resurrection. Jesus rises from the dead, a day of joy and supernatural events that has happened here. And at the end of his first day, Jesus appears to the apostles. And what is he doing? He is reproaching them, or some verses are rebuking them. Jesus is rebuking his apostles. And why? Because of their unbelief. Unbelief in what? All these reports. All these things have come, they still don't believe. Here at the very end of the first day, the apostles still do not believe. They're only going to believe after Jesus appears to them. And then he gives an explanation. Okay, unbelief, because they had the hardness of heart. We understand what hardness of heart is. Hardness of heart is you can see if all you have all the evidence, everything's been explained, it's clear, it's obvious, but a person just does not want to believe. Their heart becomes so cold, so hardened, that they just will not accept the truth and all the things that have been demonstrated. Don, you had a comment, question?
They're no different. They weren't going to believe all the people telling them until they actually saw.
Okay.
No different.
No different. Good point. I hope anybody heard that. People say doubting Thomas and kind of and look at Thomas with a weary eye that, well, Thomas should have believed. No, he wanted to see the evidence. Now, these men, the apostles, already have the evidence, but good point. Craig, you also had a comment?
And the apostle's response was interesting. He said, though you are speaking plainly, this is verse 29, and not using figures of speech, now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. And verse 31, Jesus said, then do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered. And that's why we see the women in the first tomb, really. I mean, because the apostles had unbelief, they were afraid, they were scattered, they wouldn't believe the message from Mary.
Okay, kind of. All right. So now, I want you to think about yourselves, you as individual Christians. Everyone's gathered here this morning. Put yourself in the first century. Women, you were the women that were there. Men, maybe you were Cleopas and a disciple, or maybe you were an apostle. So you're back then. You're now back in the first century. You've experienced everything Jesus has gone through. You've heard all these reports. Now, my question is to you, would you have believed right away when that first report came in that the body's missing or he's risen? Would you have believed that he has risen from the dead? Now, you say, well, come on, Rocky. Of course we would believe. He's risen. We know that. But would we really do that? So here we have a condition, hardness of heart. So, you know, we kind of, when we look at the Bible, we look at the Jews, we say we kind of point our fingers. Boy, those Jews, they should have believed. They were waiting for the Messiah, he came, yet they murdered him. All these apostles, they should have believed these reports. What's wrong with those apostles and even some of the women disciples? We kind of point the fingers. I want to look at ourselves about this hardness of heart. So, for example, we've been studying, Steve has been studying about the family, right? Hardness of heart. So, Steve, talking about the family, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Are we doing that, or are we kind of got a little bit of hardness of heart? Maybe we don't do the sacrificial love. Maybe we help them a little bit, but there's things that we do that we shouldn't do because of our mate's concern. Is that hardness of heart, or why? So submit to your husbands as Christ submitted himself to the church. You know, like sometimes I do, but not all the times. Are we a little bit of hardness of heart there that we don't believe the Scripture and believe what God and the Lord is telling us? So many different aspects. Again, my point is we need to look at ourselves. What about us? Do we have the hardness of heart? We know we're supposed to be Bible students, right? The Bible's there to perfect it, help us to make it to heaven. It's our armament to fight the devil. We're supposed to study it, meditate, and work on it. Do we have hardness of heart? As well, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. We have these Bible lessons. The elders have these teacher Bible lessons, and people put out their lessons, the teachers. Do we complete the lessons? Or we say, oh, I really don't need that, maybe. So my point in all this is look at ourselves, that we might be situations that we have be the same problem, maybe not Christ being raised from the dead, but we have the same problem that the disciples and the apostles had. We have the hardness of heart. We do certain things we want to do, and everything else Jesus, certain things that Jesus says to do that, I just don't want to do that. I'll believe some of it, but I'm not going to believe all of it. So are we also just like them in having this hardness of heart? So we have lessons here. The Holy Spirit has provided these examples and all this information. And we need to always look at ourselves in the mirror. Easy to point fingers, but let's look at ourselves. Do we have the same type of issue that the apostles had in different aspects? Of course, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, but we might have this hardness of heart in other areas. Okay, now question number three. So how many separate appearances did Jesus make on the first day? Two. So Sally's the only one in the class has got an answer. Two. Sally, is that right, class? Is Sally two is the right answer? Any other answers? Well, two must be the right answer. Yeah? Any other comments? How many separate appearances did Jesus make on the first day? Okay, there were seven different reports, right? But remember, Mary Magdalene, first time, she didn't see Jesus, right? So that would be appearance because she just saw that the tomb was empty. So that would be one that you would put on there. Okay, so the point about Susan is more than two. We talked about seven reports. Out of those seven, which of the seven were separate appearances? Okay, I heard another answer. Three. Okay, Mark, you raised your hand partly. How many?
Three.
We went from two to three. Oh,
four.
Oh, Josh got four. Well, the number keeps going up. Four, right answer? Five. Let's go through them, right? Mary Magdalene, when she goes back to the grave, it appears to her separately, right? The women. Remember the women, Jesus appears to the women. The women were on the way. They leave the grave. They're on the way. Jesus appears to the women. And the women worship Jesus. And they said, go report it. Okay, these two disciples, two of them, from Emmaus, Jesus appeared to them. We talked about Peter. That is the fourth appearance. Not much record, but that is appearance. Clear, that's it. And then last of all, we have the apostles without Thomas. So there's five separate appearances.
Now, all on the first day.
Because we're studying our records, everything on the first day. And you look, some questions in your eyes, Don, any of those that we've listed here did not happen on the first day? We know that he appeared to the apostles a second time, a week later. So five is, I believe, the right number. Now, when we went through the Gospel of John, one of our exercises in the extended class was how many total appearances did Jesus appear before he ascended back into heaven? And if you recall, there was actually a total of 12. So out of the total 12 appearances over a period of 40 days, on the first day, there are five. Okay, so first day, a lot going on. A very heavy day in terms of appearances. All right, question number four. So as we look at this record here, we notice there are differences of how the women responded versus how the men responded. And of course, how they respond is a sign of the faith they have. So the next question here, we want to contrast the faith between the women and the men disciples. Make a list of actions of the women and a list of actions of the men, all having to do with their faith, either faith, strong faith or weak faith. And so let's do the list. We'll start with the women and list all the things. So for those who had a chance to do the lesson, tell me some things that when we hear this total story of what happened on the first day about the women, what did the women do to demonstrate their faith or lack of faith? Right. So clearly, one thing you see here is the women responding to the angels. They take that action and they respond, report back. Okay? Other things about the women? Okay. here's a list of some of the things that I have observed, and hopefully you're in concurrence with a lot of these things. The first thing, if we just back up a little bit, we go to the crucifixion, right? At the crucifixion, the disciples that were at the cross, who were they? They were women. There were actually, I believe, five women that were at the cross. Where are the male disciples? They were all absent except for one. So the women are at the cross except for John. John was there. And note, we read about what happened after Jesus was put into the tomb. The women were there. They observed where the tomb was at. And when they observed that, they knew that the body, according to Jewish custom, had to be prepared for burial. They had to be anointed with spices. The women on that very day that Jesus died prepared the spices. That's kind of gets to the next point. They observed it. So they had spices already prepared. And then they were going to go ahead and anoint the body. But of course, they did it on a Thursday, on a Friday, because of the Sabbath on a Saturday. So they prepared it. Then they went and they organized, right? Well, the first event we have is that Mary Magdalene and the other women are organizing, and they go to the grave. And so they're doing things on the first day. Okay. Note here, we made this comment here. Remember when the women were going to the grave? They already saw the grave. They saw the Roman guard. They saw the great stone in front of the tomb. And they knew the stone was sealed. Remember they asked the question, who's going to remove the stone? Shows us, clearly the Bible says it's a large stone. And there were four women. So the four women by themselves could not evidently move the stone, because they're asking, who's going to help us? But you see here, the women go ahead anyway. They have an obstacle in front of them. They don't know how that stone's going to be removed. That doesn't stop them. They're still going to the gravesite. Now, who are they going to confront? Who are they going to see when they come to the gravesite? They're going to confront the Roman guard. Likely, Josh and I were talking about it, likely these Roman guard were some of the best of the guards, because Pilate told the chief priest, make it as sure as you can, the tomb. So likely these were the best guards. And remember, these were under penalty of death. If someone escaped from there, or someone stole the body, those Roman soldiers would be put to death. The women knew the Roman guard was there. They observed the tomb. They're going front. The women are not scared of the Roman guard. They're going forward. And of course, they got some obstacles. Going to remove the stone. And as Susan pointed out, they're actively informing the apostles at least three times. Well, Mary did it twice. She said the body's missing. Went back, said that he's arisen. The women, I have it as did two reports. One, the angel said he's arisen, and then Jesus appears to the women, and the women evidently go back and tell the apostles they have seen the Lord. So they're actively involved in informing the apostles. But we do have, we're looking at faith, both the positive and the negative. At first, when we say Mary Magdalene, what do they say? The body's missing. So a little lack of faith. You would think everything that Jesus told them, that once the body was missing, they had the Roman guard, they had the seal, it should have been an automatic that he's arrived. But they didn't believe that. And so the body was missing. So that's the women. All right, so now let's look at the men. What about their faith and what they demonstrated, either the strength of their faith or the lack of faith? What do you see from the men's standpoint? Yeah, they went back home. What did Peter and John do after they saw, they ran to the tomb? The body's missing. They only believe the body's missing. What do? They go and report the body's missing to the other apostles or what? No, it says they went to their homes. Wow. Okay. Others. Unless we made the point already that they didn't believe, or we made the point they already didn't believe. So again, we go back to the cross. Only John was at the cross. And we talked about Peter and John. Here are the apostles. Both two great apostles with Jesus 3.5 years. Jesus has been telling them, I'm going to rise from the dead. They get the reports. They see the tomb empty. These two men still did not believe. And we already mentioned, they go back to their homes. They did not believe after all the reports. Now note this. What about Peter? Apostles finally, as a group, evidently believed, minus Thomas, that Jesus rose from the dead when he appeared to them. Peter has already seen the Lord Jesus. The two men from Emmaus report that. What does Peter do about it? Does he go about reporting or rejoicing or trying to... No? He evidently, I don't know what happened to Peter. We don't have a record of it. It just almost dumbfounded, like he just closed up. So Peter's lack of action of appearance. Now, the two men on the road to Emmaus, they showed great faith, right? They're having this discussion with Jesus. And as soon as they notice Jesus and Jesus vanishes, what do? They return back to Jerusalem that very hour. That was 7 miles away. Walking, it would take over 2 hours. Likely they're not walking. They're likely they're running. So those two disciples had great faith when they finally recognized it was Jesus. And then what about the rest of the apostles? Where were they? Here the women are confronting the Roman guard. They're doing all these things on the first day. Where are the apostles? They're in a room, closed doors. Why? Because they're fearful of the Jews. Everything that Jesus had done for them, all the miracles he's shown to them, they're still fearful. So when you look at this contrast here, it is obvious. It's night and day. Craig, comment? Yeah, right. Look on. So, all right. So, pretty striking thing, right? Now, it's been my experience over many years being a Christian that you will find true in this congregation and true like that sometimes the women are much, much stronger in faith and in Bible knowledge than the men. Some of the best Bible students in this church over the past years have been women. And not only do they do it in knowledge and in faith, but in practice, the things that they do, things that you never hear about. Well, what about us men? Now, we've got some good Bible students, a lot of, but you find that the women are very, very strong. And why is that? I don't know why that is. I don't know if men have pride or ego or stubborn or whatever it is, but you find that. Now, the men do change. The apostles become his ambassadors. The Holy Spirit, they become ardent. Put their lives on the line after the Holy Spirit gives them the power and the strength to carry on the mission. So they change. Peter really changed dramatically. So point is, even though what has happened, people can change. Definitely the men did change. So men, compliment your wives who are Christians, who study their Bible, who study, or the women in this congregation who are so knowledgeable and do their lessons and always prepared. And men, that should be a good example for us, where maybe we need to get more on the ball to do more in knowledge and in good works. It's not only just knowledge, it's good works and faith and everything. So a good lesson for us. Compliment the women and the men. Of course, if you're doing good and striving, great. If not, look at the women's example. Okay, number 5. Now this one here is list all the different types of evidence presented on the first day, proving Jesus was resurrected as a human being and not as a spirit or an apparition. So we have this, we have the record, we have all these evidences. What are the different types of evidences that we have observed on this first day to show that truly indeed Jesus rose from the dead? What kind of types of evidences? Pardon? Okay, the linen wrappings, right. Steve, I didn't have that one. That's a good one. Linen wrappings. You said linen wrappings. Where were they? They were in the gravesite, neatly rolled up, the face cloth. Different. The apostles observed that. Okay, linen wrapping. That's a good one. Steve, you had one on, I'd have them on the list. Others?
Stone was rolled away.
Stone was rolled away.
Sealed by the Roman guard.
Okay, others? Jesus appearing. Here's what I came up with on lessons, and I didn't have Stephen's point there. First of all, we have the five physical appearances we just talked about. If you add the people that he appeared to on the first day, it's 16 people plus. If the four named women, if they're more than the four named women, which is a possibility, it'd be more than 16. So you got 5 separate appearances, either individuals or groups, total number of people, 16. The empty tomb, missing body. That's a sign that Jesus is not there. We already talked about the two, sealed with the Roman guard. What about the Roman guard was paid off? Remember? Some of the Roman guard go back to the chief priest and they tell him what has happened. And the chief says, well, you know, they're supposed to be put to death because they let the body, didn't guard the tomb like they were supposed to. But the chief priests and the elders, they were paid off with a sum of money. And that event, as the scripture records, was well known all through that area. So people knew the Roman guard was paid off. And it wasn't the disciples that stole the body. There was an empty tomb, there was an angel, and that's the situation. What about all these rational discussions that Jesus has, right? With these people, with Mary. I mean, this is not one or two words. You know, these are discussions that Jesus has with these people. What about, there's a teaching class. Do you know that? Day one, there's a teaching class. Jesus is having a teaching class. Jesus was known as the teacher. He's teaching these two men from Emmaus, telling about all the things that was happening was according to Scripture. This is what Moses wrote about, and the prophets. He had a teaching class. You know, walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, like I pointed out, is over a 2+ hour walk. And so Jesus just talking to them. He appeared to them, going along and walking along, and he's talking to them. He's having a teaching class. Apparitions and spirits don't do that. What about eating? Jesus is God in flesh. His physical body died. His physical body was raised. And here Jesus is breaking bread. He broke bread, getting ready to eat with the two men from Emmaus. And then what about when he gets on the last of the first day? He goes to the apostles and he says, I am hungry. He's still a human being, resurrected. He hadn't eaten since Thursday, the Passover. So he still has a desire to eat. And what do? They give him boiled fish, and the scripture says he ate it. Spirits don't eat food. So why do we have all these evidence? There's more. See, we could add about the linens. Why do we have all that? Was this all necessary for Jesus to rise from the dead? It wasn't necessary. All these evidence here are for us, that we should have no disbelief that Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus has overwhelmed us. God has overwhelmed us with all these evidence, all these different separate things we put together. That our faith is built on historical fact and evidence that all these different things that happen. Are they all wrong? No, they're not. They're all true. They all complement each other. And it should build our faith to know that truly indeed he rose from the dead. We're not going to be able to finish our lesson, but let's kind of go through these quickly here with what remaining time. And I'm going to go through this quickly. How many times did Jesus tell his apostles about his death and resurrection? Now, that would take a lot of work to do. There's actually a total of 7 times his ministry, Jesus told him to rise from the dead. After Peter's confession, after healing the demonic boy, discussion with the young rich ruler, after the discussion, he tells him to rise from the dead, cleansed in the temple very early on, he'll rise. And then some more subtle ones here, the golden verse of the Bible, John 3:16, 14, 15, 16. He's talking about as Moses raised up the serpent, so he must be raised up. And what? Raised up on a cross. John explains what raising up means. So he's telling them you're going to die. Talking about the light of the world, he's going to die. And when he's talking to the Greeks, the Gentiles, he's going to die. Okay, so I think that's our time. There's a few more questions we didn't get to. All these slides will be put on the website. You can look at it if you want to look at what the answers are. So I appreciate your work on this. And so, again, the bottom line of all this here, why are we doing this, is to build our faith. And the question for you is, after these two lessons, has your faith been built up? Faith is not a quantity and a given. You only have so much faith, and that's it. Our faith can continue to grow. We can continue to strengthen our faith from day to day. And how do we strengthen our faith? By studies like this, and such an important study about Christ's resurrection. So that's it. I appreciate all the work. Our class dismissed.